Hello, welcome to Writing Lessons From, where every week I've done this twice now and I can't remember what I do. Every week I take a story, a TV show, a film, a book, whatever. What have we done so far? A documentary, a comedy special. And I break it down to find the creative writing lessons and the storytelling lessons that we can use. The good, the bad, the infuriating, the wonderful, in the hope that it will improve our writing or at least give us something to think about. This episode is coming out on the 19th of September. Might not be when you're listening to it, but that means that tomorrow is my birthday. I know. I don't want anything. I don't celebrate my birthday. I don't have anything to do with it. But I'm going to be in my late 30s, and which is otherwise known as 41. And it's quite nice to think that tomorrow is my birthday, but this is the 10th episode of Writing Lessons From Blogcast. That's nice, isn't it? That's quite a nice little round number and a nice day to celebrate. I mean, basically the only point, as far as I can see, of a birthday is that I get to order a really big fancy cake. That's the only thing I do these days for my birthday. 10th episode. What are we going to be looking at today? We're going to be looking at something that people were talking about a lot like 2 years ago. I'm very slow. I've missed the boat on so many things. But here we are. We made it eventually. Here we are, finally. The writing lessons from Barbie, the movie. I feel like that should have more of a drum roll to it, but never mind. Okay, hands up, I admit it. It took me far too long to watch Barbie. My excuse is that I refuse to go to the cinema these days, even for something so hyped up, especially for something so hyped up. And it's only just appeared on a subscription service I actually have. Finally, I have seen Barbie. Oh, I laughed, I cried, I shouted, there's bloody John Cena again. Doo-doo-doo-doo. That man gets everywhere. Which, by the way, if you don't know about that, check out the last new episode, episode 8, which was about WWE documentary Unreal with John Cena. And 2 weeks before that, episode 6, that brand new one, which featured Peacemaker, which stars John Cena. That man gets everywhere. I could talk here about the overall themes in Barbie, the commentary on the patriarchy and misogyny, but it's all been covered in such depth elsewhere that I can't be bothered, quite frankly. Instead, I want to talk about the bits that really stuck out to me. There are minor spoilers for Barbie ahead, because we need to talk about stuff. But just in case you, like me, have taken ages to watch it, there's nothing major ahead. There are no major spoilers. However, Barbie is now available on Prime. If you have that and you haven't watched it yet, go and watch it. It's really good. The general concept of Barbie is that stereotypical Barbie, played by Margot Robbie, and all the other Barbies live in Barbie land, with Ken, played by Ryan Gosling, like you need me to tell you these things, all the other Kens, and Alan. Poor Alan. Stereotypical Barbie, however, must venture into the real world when she starts having thoughts about, gulp, death and whatnot, suggesting that there's something very wrong with the little girl playing with her. There's a beauty to this world building in Barbie, and I think that's where my thoughts are headed for this one. The idea that there's a Barbie land where all the dolls live, acting out their days, while in the real world they, as dolls, are being played with, is a novel one. It's something that might be a little hard to get your head around. This isn't the Lego movie with a nice twist at the end, or Toy Story where there are clear boundaries between how the toys interact with our world. This is made most apparent when Barbie goes to the real world with Ken in tow. By car, boat, rocket, and finally roller skates, they travel to our world and we watch them do it. There's no line to cross. No obvious moment when the worlds change over. One minute she's presumably a doll and the next she's a real woman. Or at least a doll who looks like a real woman, I guess, in the real world. As I sat thinking about this, because it's strange, while Barbie commented on the fact that she didn't feel safe and what a strange feeling that was for her, and I did my best not to laugh bitterly out loud, I wondered about how the writers felt they could just say, and then she's in the real world. Are the themes in this movie so powerful, so important, that the finest storytelling details just don't matter? especially as the whole concept involves such a leap in imagination, there being a Barbie land and a real world existing side by side, with barely nothing between them or something very strange between them. That sounded a little sarcastic, but I really mean it in a nice, curious way, because the transition between the worlds works really well. It's in keeping with the style of the film, and glossing over the mechanics means it isn't complicated where it doesn't need to be. While we're talking about not complicating things, the silliness of moving from one world to another is echoed in the movements and actions of the Mattel board, all men, which Barbie is disappointed by, and led by CEO Will Ferrell, as you do. Ferrell is obviously a god when it comes to this kind of silliness, and the way the board members act, talk and run all match with the uncomplicated silence of the world transitions. Are these people really human? What it actually is, I think, is a great PR stunt. When making a film about Mattel's biggest toy line, you can draw awareness to their mistakes, like a pregnant Barbie, a Barbie whose breasts grow bigger as she matures. But you can't make them the bad guys, except they sort of need to be the bad guys to a certain extent. They want to put Barbie back in her box, and for good reason. That reason being profit, because capitalism. Except they're the big real-life guys in charge. They're giving permission for this film to be made. They own all the intellectual property. There's only so much you can do when treating them as the villains. So, instead, let's make them silly and almost superfluous. Good word that, superfluous. Which actually ties in nicely with the overarching themes of the patriarchy. This isn't a film about men, but men do affect women in every single way of life. The male Mattel board have to exist, but let's not inflate their importance here. What's important is the woman who created Barbie, because in this film, what's important is the women and how they view and are viewed in their world. Damn it, this became about the themes of Barbie, didn't it? For some reason, I honestly thought I could write about the silly aspects of this film and why they worked so well as world-building concepts without mentioning the patriarchy. But here we are. Turns out that Barbie is a story about women existing in a patriarchy, so even the silly or uncomplicated aspects are connected to that major theme. When worlds are built to show a matriarchy and the patriarchy, the themes are reflected in the world-building, and therefore the silliness. And maybe that's the real writing lesson. You can soften the blow, you can ignore the trivial bits that don't need explaining. But when well written, every aspect of the story can usually be tied back to the main message and theme of the story. Which is sort of mind-blowing, isn't it? It makes me want to go back and revisit other stories. I bet a lot of them do it. And the next step, of course, is to revisit your own stories. Do random little aspects of your stories tie back to a major theme? Should they? Could they? Do you even have a major theme? Do you need one? Ugh! I think that's something for another time. For now, just something to think about while playing the Barbie soundtrack turned up loud. What next? Am I going to go and watch Oppenheimer? Oppenheimer. The answer to that is no, by the way. I would much rather watch Barbie than Oppenheimer. For one thing, have you seen how long Oppenheimer is? What is with all the long films? No, I would much rather watch Barbie and very, very talented women doing their thing. I think that's a wrap. I seem to be losing energy. My brain's gone. I might just go and have a lie down. Especially with all of that talk about themes and stuff. I always try to I don't purposefully avoid writing about themes, but it never seems to go well when I try and write about a theme. I always find that themes that sort of produce themselves in a story work better for me as a writer. And the idea of having to write about something so important like the patriarchy is, I mean, that's mind-blowing in and of itself and very overwhelming and very daunting. Please don't feel like you have to put all big themes into your stories. You really don't. You know what I like? I like good adventure, escapism, type stories. Let's just write some of those, especially with this world right now. Yes, we need some stories with big major themes. I said it was going to be for another time, me talking about that. I seem to be talking about it now. I don't want you to leave this feeling a lot of pressure. That's all it is. Go and write the story you want to write. But if you happen to be writing a story that has major themes in it, or something that you want to have a major theme in it, something of great importance, then that's something to think about. But really don't feel like you have to do that. No. Escapism for the win. Go and write the story you want to write. And if it's full of escapism, I want to read it. Let me know. Okay. I will see you next time, storytellers. Have a lovely one. Bye.